A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. There was an attempt in Iconium by both the Gentiles and the Jews, together with their leaders, to attack and stone Paul and Barnabas. They realized it and fled to the Lycaonian cities of Lystra and Derbe, and to the surrounding countryside, where they continued to proclaim the good news. At Lystra, there was a crippled man, lame from birth, who had never walked. He listened to Paul speaking, who looked intently at him, saw that he had the faith to be healed, and called out in a loud voice, "Stand up straight on your feet." He jumped up and began to walk about. When the crowd saw what Paul had done, they cried out in Lycaonian, "The gods have come down to us in human form." They called Barnabas Zeus and Paul Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. And the priest of Zeus, whose temple was at the entrance to the city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates, for he, together with the people, intended to offer sacrifice. The apostles Barnabas and Paul tore their garments when they heard this, and rushed out into the crowd, shouting, "Men, why are you doing this? We are of the same nature as you, human beings. We proclaim to you good news, that you should turn from these idols to the living God, who made heaven and earth and sea and all that is in them. In past generations, he allowed all Gentiles to go their own ways. Yet in bestowing his goodness, he did not leave himself without witness, for he gave you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons and filled you with nourishment and gladness for your hearts." Even with these words, they scarcely restrained the crowds from offering sacrifice to them. The word of the Lord. Not to us, O Lord, but to your name give the glory.
Not to us, O Lord, but to your name give the glory.
Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory, because of your mercy, because of your truth. Why should the pagans say, "Where is their God?" Our God is in heaven. Whatever he wills, he does. Their idols are silver and gold, the handiwork of men. May you be blessed by the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Heaven is the heaven of the Lord, but the earth he has given to the children of men.
Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Ioannem. Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever has my commandments and observes them is the one who loves me. Whoever loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him." Judas, not the Iscariot, said to him, "Master, then what happened that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. Yet the word you hear is not mine, but that of the Father who sent me. I have told you this while I am with you. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you everything and remind you of all that I told you." Verbum Domini. One of the fascinating readings that I have enjoyed is the memoirs of, he's now venerable, Father Samuel Mazzuchelli. Probably many of you have never heard of him, but he was one who founded many churches in the time of when it was a wilderness along the Mississippi Valley. St. Michael's in Galena, Illinois, St. Patrick's in Gary Owen, Iowa, St. Raphael's in Dubuque, St. Augustine in New Diggings, Wisconsin, and many other churches. He was a young Dominican priest in his 20s when he first came to the United States, the New World, not knowing English, but he was adept at learning languages, and he was able to learn some of the Native American languages and to evangelize them as he crossed Wisconsin as well. But he wrote of his own experiences in this wilderness area and founding the churches. And one of them, I'd like to read a portion of it today. He's talking about he's in Illinois, but he learns that there's a man who's very ill on the Iowa side. He's got to cross the Mississippi River. And it's March 1838. And so it's no longer a solid mass of ice. You know, I remember when I was growing up, you could even drive your vehicles on top of the Mississippi River during the winter when it was really cold to do ice fishing. But it was no longer a solid mass of ice. And you had these huge chunks a foot thick, and there were these big chunks of ice floating down the river, very dangerous to try to cross that. But he felt obligated as a priest, and so he's got the Blessed Sacrament with him, and that's his comfort as he's going across. And they find there's no boat on the Illinois side, but they find this tree trunk that had been carved out into a boat, and he and four others get into it and begin to cross the river. And Samuel's the oarsman, so he's the one who's rowing. There's another one who's guiding them. And there were times they had to make a shift. They couldn't just go straight across. They had to avoid getting hit by the ice in order not to sink. Well, they didn't realize that this thing was full of holes and it's beginning to fill with water. And so the people are terrified. And the one who was steering, he said, "Don't move or we're lost." But then Samuel Mazzuchelli says this, that he was reminded of when the apostles were crossing Lake Gennesaret and that storm came up and the water was coming into the boat. That scene became vivid to his own mind. He said, "How comforting is the Catholic faith in times of imminent peril of life. The priest of the altar, carrying with him at the time Jesus and the Blessed Sacrament, had no great reason to fear, since he found himself in the same danger as that which tried the faith of the apostles when the tempest surprised them on Lake Gennesaret. He cried out from the depths of his heart in their words, Master, we are perishing. A sense of security in the presence of the veiled divinity hidden in his bosom left no room for fear or any doubt of finally reaching land. So they did. They safely made it to the other side. And he concluded by saying, the passengers, not being Catholics, did not know that they owed their lives to the presence of that omnipotent God who traveled with them under the humble appearance of the Eucharist. So I begin with that today because there's a wonderful event that began yesterday. You may remember last year, we are now in this, still within this 3-year Eucharistic revival in our nation. And so we had that wonderful event last year where you had 4 Eucharistic processions from the west, the east, the north, and the south, and they all converged in Indianapolis, where we had the 10th National Eucharistic Congress in Indianapolis. And what a wonderful, powerful event that was. But the Eucharistic revival doesn't conclude until Corpus Christi this year. And so to continue this movement of walking with our Lord in the Eucharist, there's just one Eucharistic pilgrimage happening this year. It began yesterday with an opening mass with the Archbishop of Indianapolis, Charles Thompson. And so they began this mass. There was a solemn blessing of the 8 young adults who are perpetual pilgrims who will go the whole 3,300-mile journey from Indianapolis to Los Angeles. And so we had this opening mass. There's just going to be this one pilgrimage going across the Midwest and then down to the Southwest United States and then arriving eventually in Los Angeles, where there's going to be a Eucharistic procession on Corpus Christi on June 22nd. I encourage you to get involved, to participate in any way that you can. So here's what Archbishop Thompson said yesterday. He said, our faith is not something to be lived just within the walls of the church. The Mass ends with being sent out. The Eucharist is transforming, and it transforms us. And through us, it transforms others. And there was an interview this morning with a young man who was one of the perpetual pilgrims last year on the Marian route from Minnesota to Indianapolis. His name, Matthew Heidenreich. Here's what he said about that experience, how it changed his life. He said, my relationship and the way I walk with the Lord has completely changed. Just like experiencing that day-to-day walk with him and realizing how much he wants to enter into every part of my life, it transforms the way you view every moment and the way you enter into life, because you just know the Lord is with you. He's walking with you. He wants to be there. And finally, Archbishop Thompson said, the Eucharistic pilgrimage is bringing a Christ-centered focus to a world that is in desperate need of meaning and purpose and healing. That's what this procession is all about. Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life being proclaimed, being adored, being worshiped, the one who leads us and unites us. So here's a map of the route. I don't know if you can see it very well here, but I'll just give you kind of a brief overview. It's going to 20 different dioceses and 4 eparchies. It's also going to be going to the capital of the Navajo Nation. And it's called the Catherine Drexel Route, She was one who had a great love and concern, used her fortune to help the Native Americans and African American peoples of our land. And so it began yesterday in Indianapolis. It's going to Joliet. It's there today and tomorrow, then to the Diocese of Peoria, where the tomb of Venerable Fulton J. Sheen is. And then it's going to the Diocese of Davenport, Iowa. But this is the neat thing that I think ties into that reading I gave of Samuel Mazzucchelli. Then the Blessed Sacrament is going to travel by boat up the Mississippi River, it's going to go up the river and then come and arrive at the port of Dubuque in Dubuque, Iowa. From there, it's going to be going to Iowa State University. They have a very vibrant Catholic center there. I'll be talking with some of the students. I'm going to be part of this pilgrimage in the Archdiocese of Dubuque. And then it will go to the Diocese of Des Moines, Kansas City, Wichita, Tulsa, Oklahoma City, Dallas, Fort Worth, San Angelo, El Paso, La Cruces, Gallup, San Bernardino, San Diego, Orange, and finally Los Angeles. So I will be going there together with our media manager and doing different interviews and talks with pilgrims, pastors of the parishes, because it's an area, of course, that's my homeland. And looking forward to having this wonderful event that I invite, especially my co-Iowa people, to participate in this event. You can find it at the Archdiocese of Dubuque website. They have all of the details. On May 23rd, this Friday, the Blessed Sacrament will arrive at the port of Dubuque, and then it's going to go to these beautiful churches, St. Francis Xavier Basilica, Dyersville. There's going to be a wonderful procession through the fields, the fertile fields of Iowa, from New Vienna to Petersburg. And Petersburg just did a remarkable, beautiful restoration of their church. The Cathedral of St. Raphael also. So there'll be holy hours there, and then it will make its way finally to Des Moines. So I invite you to join me too. It'll be on our social media, the Friars' social media. If you go to the FranciscanMissionaries.com, you can see all of the links to our social media, Instagram, Facebook, and we'll be doing daily posts of this Eucharistic pilgrimage. So once again, as Samuel Mazzucchelli, who was one of those who founded those churches along the Mississippi Valley, who was an early zealous missionary, understood that if we have the Lord with us, and he remains with us all days in the Holy Eucharist, then we have everything. No need to be afraid. He walks with us. And today's gospel, where our Lord talks about this reality of the personal relationship that God wants for us. This is what he wants for us. Whoever loves me and keeps my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. That's his desire, that we come to know him, to love him who first knows us and loves us. And the Eucharist and this pilgrimage is a very profound way in which we can experience that. So we pray, as our Lord said, he would send an advocate, another proof of his care for us, an advocate, someone who's on our side, the Holy Spirit. We pray that the Holy Spirit will especially bear much fruit for many souls in this National Eucharistic Pilgrimage this year.